The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, the good Wallace didn't get herself ejected in the state final, offered some dumb stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to say I dreaded showing up to this football game on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Like, if you want to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. There we go. Mic to mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to WTBR-FM. It is Bird's Eye View. Jesse here. We've got Mike Walsh.
Hello.
And this is glorious. This is my glorious return to the studio. Thank you to Mike.
How was your Yom Kippur?
Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was good. Drove to New Hampshire and surprised my mom, my aunt, my grandfather, which is very, very nice. Made them cry, but it was a good cry.
No, that's nice.
Did some Zoom services, fast. I was the only one in the house who fasted, and then my aunt, like, low-key guilt-tripped me. Not didn't guilt-trip me, but, like, called me out, because I usually just do 24 hours. Like, if, you know, I start fast at the 7, and then I end at 7. And then so are you doing the 25? I'm like, huh? So she's like, well, it's supposed to be a day and an hour. It's like,
I didn't know that.
Why are you telling me this religion stuff?
Oh, boy.
So then I did do a day
this
and an
is,
hour.
This is your aunt who wasn't doing any of the hours.
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
Quality aunt. I love it.
To be fair, she was the best one at doing the services, so... it's not like she was completely off
Lacked,
it, but
yeah.
So then we stopped. It was also there's the temple that they are a part of. It started at 6, and it's like the one I would have gone to here starts at 7:30. It's like, all right, I gotta stop eating so much earlier. Terrible. I stopped eating at 6, and then although the good news is since we were doing Zoom services, I could snack right up until we started.
Okay.
But then, yeah, did 6 to 7. So I did the thing, did good. Brought a bunch of books to read. So read The Children of Húrin. I don't know if you're a Tolkien guy.
I enjoyed the movies. My wife has read all of that. I'm not a fantasy story guy.
Mike teaches his kids to read, he's learning to read too.
I read a fair amount.
Take like a fiction writing course?
I did. All I read is fiction, pretty much. I just thought fantasy is not. I told myself this year because we have. I think my dad wound up reading Fourth Wing or something. It's called. I was like, I'll try it, and I never got around to it. I'm currently reading Hound of the Baskervilles, which is a Sherlock Holmes story.
Yeah.
I thought that was like spooky thing to read. Start of October. I picked that up down at the. There's this cool little. Like old looking bookstore in Great Barrington. It's like yellow. I think it's just a yellow bookstore or yellow door. Or something
yeah,
like
I know
that.
What you're talking about. Yeah, it's right next to that old clothing store.
Yes. Yeah, I think there's a consignment shop.
I've been there,
a
couple times. I feel like I bought something from there,
cool.
But I can't remember. Yeah, no, it's cool.
Not a bad spot. I don't know. I read like a lot of Stephen King, but even like that, I haven't gotten into. And like Mark, Mark and I are big Stephen King people. But he's like a monster. I shouldn't say monster because I enjoy the monster ones, but he's like a big Dark Tower series guy, and I can't. I've tried to read The Gunslinger like 4 times.
When the things are 1,200 pages, like this is a relationship, this is a commitment.
Yeah, I did break into. I read The Stand during 2020 during COVID because I was like, all right, well, if you're ever going to read The Stand, read it now so you're prepared. And I enjoyed that, but yeah, The Gunslinger is actually not a long book. It's just, I don't know. I can't latch onto it. And then knowing what's to come, it's like if you were to like, I never saw Lost. I'm going to dive into Lost now. And knowing that there's 200 episodes or whatever of a show, that's kind of how I feel about trying to get into The Dark Tower.
That's
but I will eventually.
I've been grinding through X-Files because it's on Hulu.
Okay.
And so I'm like, mid-ish way through season 2, and I am like, so there's like 12 seasons or something like that. There's 15 seasons and it's all 25 episodes each. I'm like, all right, well,
those are the days.
Can I just stop after season 5? Like, any X-Files fans out there who can just tell me, I'm like, all right, you know.
Seen a handful of episodes. There's like, one where they're, like, trapped in a, it's kind of like a The Thing
I've seen
episode.
That episode. That's season
awesome.
One episode.
Awesome
yeah.
episode of The X-Files, I will say. I believe Henry's wandering over to you. So.
Nope.
Oh, maybe not. He froze.
All right. Well, you just talked about The Thing, so he got, it's cold. It's freezing.
this is true.
We'll get to this board. I would recommend if you are looking at Tolkien, I would start with The Hobbit. I think it's a sure. very, very good like one-off. Oh, what's up, buddy? He just came around the corner.
He is around this way.
He's peeking at me. What's up, bud? All right. Well, we'll see if he gums on any buttons here at WTBR. In any case, football. No basketball. Well, we did have some basketball news coming out last night.
News,
some breaking
yeah.
basketball news. Hoosick Valley has a new boys basketball varsity head coach. Bill Robinson retired for the second time, actually, but longtime coach Bill Robinson. He retired. And Matt Larrabee, who has been the JV coach since 2012, is the son of former Hoosick coach Mike Larrabee. Is the new head coach. So Matt Larrabee takes over the program. He's been with Hoosick basketball since 06. Mm-hmm. And he played for Bill Robinson when he went to Hoosick, went to Westfield State. And so now he is back coaching his alma mater. Talked to him last night. He said he's been waiting for this his whole life. He said it was the dream for him and what his dad had for him. So very, very cool moment. And yeah, it'll be interesting because they're entering the Berkshire League. And after some years of that not being the case, now it's a redux of the old Berkshire North. So Hoosick, Drury, Pittsfield, Taconic, Monument, and Wakona all together again. They all play two games against one another. And of course, if you're a Hoosick fan, if you're a Drury fan, you get two games against. You get a home and home as opposed to this year where it had just been one team hosts and that's that. This year we got very, very lucky because they ended up being matched in the state tournament. But yeah, Drury and Hoosick will get two games against one another, which will be really, really, really fun. I know Larrabee was very excited about that. I know he said there's a lot of excitement about it from talking to the kids. He knows it's going to be a very tough league. So yeah, that'll be really, really fun. Come up basketball season, we'll obviously get more into that in a few months when that's closer. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see Hoosick with a new face manning the sideline. That'll be something to watch. Yeah. Even though, I mean, he's been on the sideline, but he just wasn't the varsity coach.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine a great deal about what your image of Hoosick Valley basketball is will change, given the continuity
said.
Level of him. His dad was an assistant for Bill Robinson forever, coached the team for a little bit. It's probably a good thing, though, given what Hoosick, like at the end of the basketball season when we're talking, like looking ahead to next year, it's like, oh, like Hoosick has a chance to like run stuff here.
It could be good.
And so, yeah, knowing that we kind of had inklings that Robinson might not be back over the course of, he came back, you know, I don't think anybody really viewed it as a stopgap, but if you look at, you know, he had been out for a little while and was like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll come back. You guys are in need. And then, you know, ho-hum, leads the team to two Western Mass championships and a state championship game. There was always going to be somebody coming, I believe, for not coming for that job in a violent sense. But
yeah,
it was always going to, you know, there was going to be a move on at some point.
Well, we'll move on.
Sure.
Move on the topic.
Hey, now.
So let's see. Quick hitters, McCann. Golf won a bi-county championship yesterday, clinched that. Henry, big McCann golf fan. Wakona Golf, so I believe they split a Berkshire championship.
Both of them and Greylock should be 13-1, yeah.
Right.
Beat each other once, or
you
each,
could
each
argue
beat the other on their
Greylock
home course. Yeah.
Gets it because great when because Wakona beat Greylock by one stroke and Greylock beat Wakona by like 14 strokes.
If you're
so
going
you could
scoring
argue
differential,
that. But yeah,
Greylock also had the Berkshire Classic winner,
right,
and Jacob
Hillman.
So yeah, if you want to go tiebreaker route, sure.
but yeah, no. So they both shared it. Pittsfield girls soccer broke its skid, beat Holyoke. Lee girls soccer got a nice 5-0 win. What else happened? Oh, Mount Everett got a nice win over Franklin Tech. McCann won, so that sets up a big matchup tomorrow between McCann and Mount Everett. Let's see. Volleyball-wise, Taconic finally broke its skid. It did play Drury, which is obviously a brand-new program. And so Taconic had been on a four-game losing streak, and so now they are off that, and they will play Pittsfield tomorrow. That's at Taconic. Huge game. Game one. I believe it was actually PHS's first win of the season, and it was at PHS. Taconic won the first two sets, and then PHS won three straight. And so, yeah, I expect this to be a huge game. Taconic senior night. They need to kind of win out if they want to make the state tournament. So we will see what happens there. Sorry, did you?
No, that's just all yesterday. So yeah, there's been a kind of, I'm going back a couple of days, was we had Greylock Pittsfield Girls Soccer Part 2, which was a scoreless draw. Or no, is that what it was? Yeah, when you covered it?
Scoreless draw. When I covered it, it was a scoreless draw.
This one's a big one.
Was
yeah.
insane. Yeah, I watched part of the game on PC TV. And
hey.
There we go.
Shout out.
Shameless plug. Pittsfield scores to go up 2-1, and I quite literally 20 seconds later, Greylock scores. Mm-hmm. And then they're up, and then it's 2-2, and then they score again a minute and a half later, and it's 3-2 at half. And you're like, oh my God, PHS just gave away the game. And then, you know, they score to tie it in the second half, and then Greylock scores 10 seconds later. And, yeah, it really was just a how do you lose concentration like this? Because mm-hmm. you had the chance to win, you had the chance to tie, and then they just blink. And Greylock would get by them and score. So, I mean, it's kind of weird that PHS plays Greylock that hard, and then Wakona, they don't seem to be able to contend with. So I'm kind of confused on that front.
Yeah, the top of the girls' soccer has been I talked about it with Dylan here last week, was we were looking back on Greylock's first matchup with Wakona, where Greylock, we viewed those kind of after Wakona handled Pittsfield, they came in and Greylock was still undefeated. Greylock beats them 5-0, and you're just wondering, like, okay, do I view Wakona in lesser of a light? Do I view Greylock in more of a light? And... Holy smokes.
He's a big Greylock soccer fan.
A week later, I don't know if we can make more calls on that. Greylock clearly, I think, seems to be the best team. It's just, I don't know how much better they are than Wakona and Pittsfield. That's why. So this week, I just want to talk real quick. This week coming up, starting on Monday and going till the next Monday for Mount Greylock. If you look at their entire season and say, oh, they haven't really been tested, like the two Pittsfield games, sure, the Wakona game, they beat 5-0. They've mostly been cruising. This next week, they play Monday. Let's see, Monday they're at Longmeadow. Wednesday is the return of the Wakona game. Wakona will be at Greylock Wednesday night at 6. And then the following Monday, so they have some space between these games, but the following Monday is Northampton. Per our colleagues over at Mass Live, Northampton, Longmeadow are both top 5 teams in their top 20. Wakona is like 15, something like that, 14. So this week coming up here for Greylock,
I believe Longmeadow was like 3rd in D2.
Okay, in the state rankings. Power rankings wise, they're probably way up there. I think Longmeadow is like 9-1. That's the only one I checked real quick before this, but yeah, some huge gains for Greylock. You could view it as, you know, perfect timing for them. Like, okay, we need to ramp up this competition before we get to the tournament.
You ready for this?
Sure.
Longmeadow 9-1-2, yep. Number 4 in Division 2.
Okay.
You said they play Northampton?
Northampton's their finale next Monday. Yep.
Northampton is 6-3-2,
yep.
Number 20 in D2. Who was there? Any other huge one?
The Wakona game.
Oh, Wakona game. Yeah. Yep. I can look up what the. PVIAC, the Western Mass.
Yeah, so pretty much, yeah, Greylock, two of their last three games here to wrap the regular season are against playoff teams in two divisions higher, because Greylock's D4 now, right? So two D2 playoff teams, state tournament teams, and Wakona, who is the, I believe, only loss is...
to Greylock.
Is that still right? Yeah.
I believe so.
Some huge games coming up for Mount Greylock
girls.
So
Longmeadow number 1 in Class A and Northampton number 4 in Class A.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so yeah, that's just a huge game. Wakona is a Class B team. Yeah, Greylock is top in Class C.
Yep. And Greylock beat Lennox 7-1 yesterday. So they're 11-0-1 now. So it's like, how real is the 11-0-1? We're going to find out these next three games here. And I mean, I'm not, you could end up 11-3-1, and I'd still say, okay, you're a legit team if you
as long
if,
as they don't lose these three 5-0, games are, yeah, competitive, you know, yeah, I'm not all that concerned. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think there's a very good chance they lose to Longmeadow and Northampton. But, you know, if they lose 2-0, I'm not all that worried because those are just, as we have mentioned, very, very good teams at a very big level. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to find out what's going on there. It'll also be interesting to see Greylock in states just because they're in Division 4 for the first time and they have to deal with a higher level of competition. But, yeah, let's take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little football. So stay right here on WTBR and WSBR.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying: anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world. And it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Welcome back, folks. Here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR, Lee, Bird's Eye View, Jesse and Mike back here in the booth. We have the Hammer and Hank over there in the corner. He is hammering away at some no-sound foam.
Off the wall. Not ideal.
You know what? I'm sure that's under warranty. in any case, hope you all enjoying. It's fall. Like, it's been mid-70s the last couple days, and all of a sudden now it's like, oh, okay, it's kind of chilly when I wake up. And, you know, now it's peaking at 62, not 77. In any case.
It's football weather, finally.
Yeah, it is football weather.
We had to wait till mid-season, but we got football weather.
I've been enjoying the warmer fall.
Parts of it, yes. But sweating during, like, doing yard work and stuff in the fall is not cool. But
well, all right. In any case, so it is the mid-season of the high school football season, which is kind of wild that it's been this quick. Hoosick Valley and Lee are the highlight. 4-0. Lee is the number one team in the MIAA Division 8 power rankings. Hoosick Valley is the number two team in those rankings, and they're going to play this weekend in Cheshire. I mean, I said that Hoosick-Wakona was the game of the year, and that's true. But this is the game of the year in the sense that, like, this is for all the marbles. Mm-hmm. You know, they are both undefeated. They are 1-2 in the state. I mean, obviously, before 4 years ago, that just couldn't happen because the state rankings like that didn't exist. But there has never been a time before when you could say that about two Berkshire teams that were going to play each other, you know? I mean, sure, you had, if you go back into the old days, when the Berkshire County champion would play the Valley champion in those Western Mass Super Bowl. But once again, that's like only Western Mass. This is the state. So that's really, really cool. Brings just
before
a lot
my
of excitement.
Time, so I just consider it didn't happen.
I mean, you would have been alive.
I've been here 10 years now, so I feel like before that, it's okay.
That's ancient history?
Ancient history.
The might as well be Sparta.
Sure, sure. Yep.
In any case, a lot of excitement for that game. It's going to be a very, very interesting matchup because Hoosick Valley has a fantastic defensive front, whereas Lee has a fantastic run game. Lee has a really aggressive, really good secondary. Hoosick has a lot of weapons on the outside. It's just, yeah, there's just great matchups all over. Hoosick's line, you got Jake Borowski, Jaquan Vasquez, Logan O'Connell, Noah Rehill. And then on the other hand, you have to stop Dawson Reburn, J.D. Reburn, Seamus Cooney for Lee. Like, it's going to be a really fun matchup. You know, Lee has J.D. Reburn, Dawson Reburn, Seamus Cooney, and Thomas Lucy, and Blake Hoff. and Will and Matt Myro, but they have to stop Aiden Wicks and Kamari Kastner and Quinnell Bradley, and Ben Payton's a good quarterback. And so, yeah, it's just a very, very, very fun series of matchups. The last 4 years, they were in the Intercounty South. Hoosick won in 2021, won the league title. Mm-hmm. In 2022, Lee won the game, won the league title. 2023, Hoosick won the league title. 2024, Lee won this league title. Now they are in the Suburban North. And whoever wins is only going to have to worry about East Hampton for the league title. So that is just a very, very fun series of matchups. No one has won it back-to-back since before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a huge opportunity to win two games in a row in a series that has been very, very even, you know, that they have traded it year after year. And both teams look as good as they have in a while. And so, I'm just excited. This is very, very lucky. I wish this was in week seven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels very early. Both teams still have to play Taconic before we can say that they're Berkshire County champions. But, yeah, this is exciting.
Were they both undefeated entering? Oh, no, Hoosick had lost to Wakona, right?
Right.
Okay, so they weren't totally undefeated heading in. But can you, so if you can think back to last year's matchup, it was still like, it was
6-0 versus 5-1.
And it was at this level of, I mean, not, maybe they weren't 1-2 in the state, but.
That's the difference. To me, that's the difference from last year. It's not just the loss, but it's the fact that, you know, Lee was like 9 in the state and Hoosick was 15. You know, it's like, this is 1v2.
Yes. People outside of Berkshire County are going to be watching this game very intently. Or at least finding the result of this one very interesting. So that's kind of a new wrinkle to really, I think, probably Berkshire County football at large.
I think ever.
Yeah, I mean, Hoosick had that. They were top 4 seed or whatever 3 years ago. But I don't know that anyone they played in the Berkshires was of a consequential level statewide.
I mean, 2023, when they went to the Final Four, they were the 3 seed, and Belchertown was a playoff team. They beat Belchertown. Belchertown went 7-1 that year. And other than that, everyone else was kind of just solid, but I don't think they played any other or beat any other playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, wider-wise, it's like, eh. And then the year when they went in 2021 to the Final Four, they were the number one overall seed. But once again, to your point, they would have beaten Lee, which also was a playoff team. And they would have beat East Hampton, which also was. So they beat a few playoff teams that year with Lee and East Hampton. I believe they beat Belchertown, who was also. But, yeah, there wasn't that kind of wider, like, oh, this is a top 5 matchup.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings, yeah, there's just a lot of intrigue, and I'm very excited about that.
So, and going back to last year, it wound up being kind of it wasn't a super competitive game.
It was not a competitive game, no.
But
Lee rolled them.
Yeah, so.
It was 47-15.
Right. And it looked, so Hoosick was missing a couple guys, but it clearly signaled like a gap between the teams, I guess.
That was the game. That was the first game Griffin Mucci was back after getting hurt, and you could tell that A, he was on a serious snap count, and B, he was not, like, he just didn't have his legs back under him.
And this was.
But Lee was also just so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this game, they both come in looking pretty healthy. They both coming in looking good. They both have the same issues we've talked about all season. You know, if somebody can stop the run, what will Lee's offense look like? For Hoosick, can you not beat yourself? You know, dumb penalties, mistakes, fumbles, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this, like, the game against South Hadley.
I've said this every week, yeah.
Well, the game against South Hadley, like, I wanted to be excited because they only had 3 penalties in the first half. And in the second half, they did very poorly, so they finished with 9 penalties. But, yeah, you know, it's just, can they play composed? Going to be a big matchup. I think there's probably going to be a lot of energy on both sidelines. I'm hoping it's going to be a good crowd. The crowd for the Wakona Hoosick game was great. Hoping we get that again. I'm excited. I think there's a lot of potential in this matchup.
Cool. Yeah, it's a curious. So, and we're saying we're starting to come to a conclusion that maybe Lee is better than they were last year.
That's kind of how I feel.
And so then it becomes, is Hoosick. We also believe Hoosick is better than they were
Hoosick's
last year.
So much better than they were last year.
So you put that so in there.
Yeah.
Are they more better than they were last year than Lee is better than they were last year? Would be ultimately could be what, you know, decides this.
Here's where I put this. I think Hoosick's potential is higher than Lee's.
ceiling wise?
Their ceiling is higher, but their floor has been lower. And while I don't think Lee's ceiling is quite as high, their floor has been much higher than Huzik's. And so the question then becomes, what version of Huzik shows up? Is it the version where they play composed and their defense is dominant and their offense doesn't shoot itself in the foot, and so you have all these big playmakers who can go out and, you know, use the athleticism and make plays and they win this game? Or is it going to be the Huzik offense that plays down and puts itself in a hole where they fumble the ball a bunch of times, or they have a big run that's negated by a dumb holding call, and they jump off sides a bunch of times, and Lee gets free yardage? That's the question mark. And so we will have to find out, because Lee is, generally speaking, a team that will not beat itself. And so this is a huge test for both teams, because Lee also hasn't played a team anywhere near this good, and Huzik has not played a team anywhere near this good.
Yep, and I mean, we haven't seen either. I mean, we've seen, I guess, Huzik play a little bit from behind. But if Huzik hits a big play or two early on in the game, does Lee have the ability to score quickly enough to kind of catch back up? And then on the flip side of that, if Huzik doesn't hit those plays and Lee is just sucking down the time, sucking down the clock with their running backs, does Huzik have kind of the patience, I guess, to play that kind of game?
It's an interesting question because, yeah, Huzik has been behind before in the Wakona game, so they kind of know what to expect. Whereas Lee, mentally, they just haven't experienced that since, like, literally last year against West Boylston. So are they going to know how to react? And then, yeah, you know, I have less concern about Huzik being behind because they are better at hitting the big plays. They have more kids who can do that. But they have the capability to go on long drives, even though they struggled to do so. They didn't do it against South Hatton.
And I shouldn't.
But South Hatton, but Lee, you know, yeah, once again, if they're down two scores in the fourth quarter, not that I'm saying that that'll happen, but if that were to happen, yeah, I don't know if they have a big play offense.
I shouldn't take away from the fact that Huzik can be patient. Like, they weren't down in the Monument game, but they were scoreless for a while. They were only up 7-0 till the last second of the first half. So they did show, I guess, some patience there, and that they can kind of, okay, things aren't going well, we can change something up here, we can hold on, we can continue grinding down. So they have shown the ability to be patient. It's more a concern, I guess, of if you're behind and the other team isn't giving you the ball at all, which I think Lee probably has the horses slash the line play to kind of control time of possession.
Yeah, they absolutely do. Only a couple minutes left here. Yeah, but just to quickly hit on the other football games. Sure. Also, that game's on Saturday at 1:00 in Cheshire. Saturday at 7 in Great Barrington, Monument Mountain will host McCann Tech. That'll be an interesting game. Monument on a 3-game losing streak, trying to break it. McCann 0-3, but they have not played in a couple weeks just because they've had byes. So we will see how both teams look, are able to recover. Dom Colludi did throw for 300 yards against Belchertown in a loss. Drops, big issue. James Green looks like he's emerging as the new number one target because Griffin Tupont is hurt. He had 200 receiving yards against Belchertown, so we will see how both teams look there.
Sorry, Pittsfield, who
was that? Pittsfield is playing on the road at Agawam on Friday. Wakona is hosting Chicopee Comp, and Taconic is hosting East Hampton. East Hampton is 4-0. Excuse me, Taconic is not hosting East Hampton. Taconic is hosting South Hadley. South Hadley is 2-2, just lost to Huzik. And so Taconic and South Hadley are actually the only two remaining members of the original Suburban North. So that'll be an interesting game. South Hadley reminds me of PHS just because they have some good players, but they're very thin for what they usually are. Wakona gets a new test against Chicopee Comp. Chicopee Comp is new in the league. Big school. Looks like they are enjoying not having to go up and take their lumps against Springfield Central and Longmeadow and Minichog every year. And then, yeah, Pittsfield at Agawam. New opponent, but they have scrimmaged a lot over the years, so they kind of know each other because of that. Be interesting to see. I think Agawam's struggling as well. See how PHS does with that one winnable game for the Generals. That's going to be just about it. So we'll thank you guys for tuning in. the Henry Meister over there has been very, very active. Mm-hmm. He's a big Berkshire County football fan. So thank you all. Have a good rest of your week. Good luck to your teams, and take it easy.